You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the August 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing The Shortwave Listener by Fred Waterer, RNZI, Texas Shortwave, and BBC Fair for August. WRMI, Postcards from the Wind, is a new series of two-minute audio postcard dispatches by Phil Corbett from somewhere in the world, and will be aired by WRMI each Monday at 8.05 p.m. Eastern Time. It's currently 0.05 UTC Monday on 9,955 kHz and WRMI.net. July 28th, Punk House, Rhode Island. August 4th, The Coyote, Western North America. August 11th, Los Angeles, California. August 18th, Kathmandu, Nepal. August 25th, Descending to Alphorns in Nevada. More information is available at thewind.org. Jeff White adds, that's at 5 minutes past the hour, right after Yankee baseball. We'll also air the program on Saturday at 8:35 p.m. Eastern, also after Yankee baseball. Martin Dawson's Radio Mystery Theater listings for June through September on WRMI. July 26th, Escape Radio Show, The Time Machine, 1948. August 2nd, The Witch's Tale Radio Show, The Mannequin, 1933. August 9th, Quiet Please Radio Show, Whence Came You, 1948. August 16th, Mysterious Traveler Radio Show, Out of the Past, 1949. August 23rd, Escape Radio Show, Evening Primrose, 1947. August 30th, Escape Radio Show, Occurrence at Oak Creek Bridge, 1947. September 6th, Inner Sanctum Radio Show, Detour to Terror, 1946. September 13th, Quiet Please Radio Show, Northern Lights, 1949. September 20th, Lights Out Radio Show, Author and The Thing, 1943. September 27th, Escape Radio Show, Ancient Sorceries, 1948. The program can be heard Saturday at 1300 UTC on 15,770 kHz, Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 0300 UTC Sunday, on 9,395 kHz, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC, on 5,950 kHz. NHK. August 2025 marks 80 years since the atomic bombings and the effective surrender of Japan, which was officially signed on board the USS Missouri on September 1, 1945. In recent months, we looked at recordings of programs related to D-Day and to the German surrender. One of the more remarkable broadcasts took place on August 15, 1945, when Emperor Hirohito spoke over NHK Radio, Nippon Hoso Kyokai, Japan Broadcasting Corporation, to his people for the first time. In a brief speech, Hirohito told the Japanese people that they must endure the unendurable, avoiding the actual word surrender. He spoke in an archaic dialect of Japanese, which, for many, was unintelligible, and NHK broadcasters had to explain parts of the speech. It was a remarkable broadcast, and it is available to be heard with English translation in a number of iterations on YouTube and other platforms. Equally remarkable is the story of how the recording actually got on the air. Between the time the Emperor recorded it, two copies on records, and the time it was to air, There was an attempted coup by army officers who wanted to prevent the broadcast at all costs. At some point, both the emperor and the recordings were hidden in obscure areas of the palace. In addition, broadcasters and engineers at NHK, at great personal risk, prevented mutineers from broadcasting an appeal to join the rebellion. A speech was delivered, but it never went out over the airwaves. Oops. While you are on YouTube, look for the film Japan's Longest Day, 1967, and The Emperor in August, 2015. Which are both Japanese films detailing the politics and intrigue leading up to the broadcast. The dialogue is in Japanese, however most versions provide subtitles. The 1967 film even stars legendary Japanese actor Toshirô Mifune. There's also a book by the name of Japan's Longest Day, I have it in paperback, which is also a fascinating read. Both movies are largely based on it. Both films and the book are fascinating. One of the strange factoids surrounding the broadcast always makes me chuckle. When Emperor Hirohito listened to the broadcast, he did so on his personal radio, a radio made by the Radio Corporation of America, RCA. With the 80th anniversary of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and the Emperor's broadcast all coming up in August, it's highly likely that there may be some programming to mark those events on NHK Radio Japan, the BBC, and others. It might be worthwhile to poke around the websites for both broadcasters around the respective anniversaries. Hiroshima, August 6th, Nagasaki, August 9th, and the broadcast, August 14th. BBC programming. Discovery. In this episode, we're talking about an insect known for its elongated front legs, which are used to catch and hold prey, the praying mantis. In Tooth and Claw, Adam Hart explores our complex and challenging relationships with Earth's greatest predators, through the people who have spent their lives studying, protecting, and at times narrowly escaping them. With triangular heads and bulging eyes, these insects have been known to attack animals much bigger than themselves, including birds, lizards, and mice. We address the common misconception of sexual cannibalism in mantises, as well as finding out their cultural significance to human populations all around the world. Presented by Adam Hart, BBC World Service, Monday, July 28, 2030. Assignment. Until this year, Greenland rarely made the international news, and probably only the islanders themselves took much time to contemplate their future. Now, with President Donald Trump wanting to annex it for its strategic position and mineral wealth, the question has become a lot more pressing. Greenland is the biggest island in the world, but has a population of just over 55,000. While it has its own parliament, its foreign policy is controlled by Denmark, something many residents are unhappy about. But Denmark subsidizes the residents, many of whom are indigenous Inuit with links to Canada, Alaska, and Siberia, to the tune of around $10,000 per person per year. While most Greenlanders don't want to become part of the U.S., many also don't want to be controlled by Denmark in the longer term either. On an island where fishing is the primary source of income, that means either increasing tourism or allowing the mining of the many rare earth metals like zinc and uranium, which have large deposits on Greenland. However, the islanders have always favored the strictest environmental controls when it comes to mining, which are deterring companies from investing and traveling around, and staying in Greenland is expensive for tourists. Hedi Aziz travels to Greenland to talk to politicians, musicians, and influencers about Greenland's Inuit identity and to find out if it can and should really go it alone. Presenter, Hedi Aziz, BBC World Service, Tuesday, July 29th, 09:30. On the podium. Sport for many people, whatever they might tell you, is about being first. And the pursuit of that can bring positives and negatives. But what if being first wasn't just about you? There are times when a victory makes you a pioneer, and that's certainly true of Monica Puig, who won their country's first ever Olympic gold medal. Puerto Rico has been sending teams to the Games since 1948, the year their National Olympic Committee was founded. 68 years later, they were still waiting. And then in Rio, Monica had the week of her life, beating the world's best tennis players in a magical run to the final and to gold. Presented by Ed Harry and Eliza Skinner. BBC World Service, Thursday, July 31st, 10:30. Heart and Soul. The 80th anniversaries of the liberation of death and concentration camps in 1945 are met with grief and a sense of loss. However, while reflecting, imagine if these places were seen with a different lens, the start of life and a sense of home. Bergen-Belsen concentration camp in Germany was the only camp liberated by the British forces in April 1945. Prior to that, over 50,000 people were murdered there. After liberation, the British forces, alongside the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, AJDC, set up another camp about 2 kilometers away, the Bergen-Belsen Displaced Persons DP camp, the largest DP camp in Europe, where over 2,000 babies were born. Known as Bergen-Belsen babies, Susan Schwartz and Karen Lasky were two of the many born here and still hold the label stateless after their families were eventually accepted and immigrated to Canada. On the anniversary of the liberation, survivors alongside Bergen-Belsen babies gathered for the week, trying to fill in the gaps of what happened to their families and reflect on their childhoods. After reporting for the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz for the BBC, Amy Leibowitz is trying to piece together what happened to some of her relatives at the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp and DP camp. Only knowing them by name, Amy attempts to piece together their experiences through those still living and see if their spirit can help her see her family's tragedies in a different light. Presenter, Amy Leibowitz, BBC World Service, Friday, August 1st, 11:30. And now, scanning with GPS, ACARS, and AIS. The Olinco DJ-X100TE Digital Multimode Receiver by George Viesola. 2 months ago, TSM, June 2025, I took an in-depth look at the Uniden UBCD-160DN scanner. This time, I am investigating another new scanning receiver, which is currently making headlines in the radio community. Meet the new Olinco DJ-X100. The Olinco brand is well established in the world of scanners, with the Olinco DJ-X3, DJ-X11, and particularly the DJ-X2000, in widespread use. I have used the latter for some time, but my all-time favorite model is the shirt pocket-sized DJ-X7, which I had fun with for years. Cute and capable, just like myself. The DJ-X100TE European model is the first dust and waterproof Olinco scanner, and the firm's serious foray into the world of digital scanning. The brochure promises gentle operability and explains that the radio is inspired by the design of measuring instruments. One wonders why. The DJ-X100 is further described as a digital multimode receiver, receiving radio media from VHF to UHF. Radio media. I liked that. The scanner's standout features are as follows. The scanner receives some digital modes, for example, DMR, Tier 1, 2, and NXDN. There is an inbuilt GPS receiver to aid in searching for nearby channels and stations. The scanner receives and readily decodes ACARS and AIS signals, 12K IF wide and 12K IF narrow. The Olenko DJX100 can receive analog signals from 30 to 470 MHz in FM, narrow FM, AM, narrow AM, and broadcast wide FM modes. Long press the mode key to go straight to FM radio. Digital modes covered are DCR, DMR, NXDN, DPMR, DSTAR, and C4FM, DN. As mentioned, data modes that can be decoded are AIS and ACARS. There is no HF coverage, like in the older ICOM ICR20, for instance. The 12K IF, wide, 15 kHz, and narrow, 6 kHz, outputs, can be selected to route the signals to third-party software. The DJX100 is powered by a 3.6-volt lithium-ion battery, EBP114A, 3,120 mAh, which you can easily get a replacement for, Moonraker SKU-99766. EBP is not evidence-based policing, but electronic battery pack. This denotes that the rechargeable battery is in fact a proprietary Olenko dry cell. This scanner offers 999 memory channels and comes with its own stubby SMA antenna. You will need an SMA to BNC male adapter should you wish to use other antennas, which is always a good idea, at least from the home shack. Most scanner enthusiasts will have a box full of antennas somewhere, as indeed I do. For the duration of this test, I used as many of them as I could, but mainly a Discone and the Sony RHS-1000. An image accompanying the article shows the instruction manual, the display of a weather station, and the radio laid out on a table. The caption reads, "Waiting for AIS transmissions. The scanner became part of my mini weather watching center." Courtesy, George Viesala. Other images accompanying the article show first the radio with 145.2625 MHz displayed on the screen. The caption reads, "The Olenko DJX100 listening to radio amateurs on 2 meters. Another image shows the display of the radio. It shows a message. The caption reads, "An ACARS message is easily readable on this receiver's screen." Another image shows the radio's display. The display shows 160.775 MHz. The caption reads, "My local Maritime Safety Information Broadcast, MSIB, from Holyhead Coast Guard. It used to come from Liverpool." Courtesy, George Viesala. Back to the text. The keypad is of the flat membrane type, presumably on account of the scanner being waterproof. It is one of my least favorite features of this radio. This type of keypad, without more prominent rubberized keys, will wear out in no time at all. More seriously, there are no prominent markings that I could see for users who are blind or partially sighted. There is room for improvement here, I feel. Computer control is available, for instance, through the Progue DJX app from Radio Reference UK, version 1.0.0, released 16 February 2025, 15 pounds. Website radioreferenceuk.co.uk /progdjx.php. However, by the time this review is published, I feel certain that there are already other programs available to help operate this scanner, populate its memory channels, set the priority channel, and so on. The Olinco DJX100 in use. The scanner comes with a manual, the USB cable for charging and programming, the aforementioned screw-top antenna, and the EDC352 Olinco power supply, plus, helpfully, an adapter plug. You'll have it up and running in no time, and the scanner is reasonably intuitive to use up to a point. The menu system is quite straightforward. It's nice to have an FM radio on board that can be set to play while the unit is scanning. When it locks onto a transmission, you can either hear both or automatically lower the FM station volume to hear the voice transmission. A long press on the mode key will switch the FM radio in or out. The sound of music is just about adequate for casual in-check background listening. For better sound, you could always connect an external active or passive speaker, amplifier, and so on. I used the Sony SRS-XB12. On VHF and UHF and across all modes, the scanner delivered good but not outstanding results. If you are interested in digital modes this scanner can receive, you will find it more than suitable for the purpose. Transmissions are loud and clear, and operating the radio is not challenging. Its sensitivity on the air and marine bands was sufficient but not overly impressive, and the same was true for the military airband. It made me wonder once again whether packing more technology into modern radios comes at the cost of better reception quality. But this is not an issue just for Olinco. I noticed this with a range of other scanners too. Also, it does of course matter which antennas you use and where your QTH is. I very much liked the built-in GPS receiver, and the GPS and the location reception and display options. When you search for frequencies in your region or are using the radio for maritime AIS on your boat, this can make the radio really come to life. In this regard, Olinco has set down a new challenge and a marker for future scanner technology, one of those milestones that other scanner manufacturers will no doubt emulate in the not-too-distant future. Watch this space. Receiving ACARS and AIS. One of the joys of scanning has to be the reception of non-voice radio signals, emergency transmissions, weather information, and similar communications. If you happen to live in a location with plenty of aircraft passing overhead, you may wish to try your hand at ACARS, Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System, or the Marine AIS, Automatic Identification System. Both the ACARS and AIS protocols regularly transmit location data and other information, which can deliver interesting clues about what is going on and may also allow you to make inferences on propagation conditions and weather. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.